And in that passage from John's Gospel, we see that we've got life and light, two of those essential L words mentioned, you know, quite a few times. Verse 4 has said, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Jesus is described as the Word of God in this chapter, said to be God himself there at the beginning, in the creation of the world. And everything that we see was created by him. Nothing that was made without him. Jesus is therefore synonymous with life itself. For there, in those few verses, we see that he's actually God. And life is a theme that runs throughout the Bible, and especially in John's writing. He calls Jesus the Word, but he also calls him in his first letter the Word of Life. He reminds us that this Word of Life really did come to earth. So at the beginning of 1 John, we read, the life appeared. We've seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. You know, for us, all life's got a beginning and an end. But for God, he's got no beginning and he's got no end. Jesus not only has life, he is eternal life. And therefore, he's got the authority to grant eternal life to everyone who believes in him. In John 5 it says, for just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. You know, the fact that Jesus has got life in himself is one of the proofs that he's God. And he gives life to us too, so that we may share in that life. Because Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author of life, we can have confidence that the life that he gives us isn't just for this time that we spend on earth. He's able to give us eternal life, life that lasts beyond the grave. He's described not only as the Word of Life, speaking those words of eternal life, but he's also described as the Bread of Life, and he feeds us through his sacrifice for our sins. John 6:51 says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And spiritual life, the real life that lasts forever, beyond this life that will one day fade on earth because we're clothed in temporal flesh, is found in God alone. Jesus told the people, I am the resurrection and the life. And he said, the one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And from that we can see that we've got a hope and a life that lasts beyond the grave. When we've been doing the Bible studies on 1 Corinthians, we spent a lot of time in chapter 15 looking at Paul's words on the resurrection. And we were reminded that if we're going to enter into God's presence fully, we have to put on the imperishable. We have to clothe ourselves with immortality. Our mortal bodies may die, but Jesus said, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And the fact that Jesus has eternal life and is eternal gives us great hope for today and for the future. Because he's generous. He shares that life with us. He came so that we can have life in all its fullness, abundant life. He laid down his life so that we could be reconciled to God. And the life that he gives doesn't fade or perish. He said, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. And we can see from that that Jesus gives us long-lasting life because it's eternal. It's better in quality too than this life, which we might just say is existence. Now, you might remember the Duracell Bunny adverts, yeah? I don't know if they're still on because I don't really watch TV much, but the Duracell Bunny adverts, okay? The bunny powered by the Duracell batteries lasted much longer than all the other toys, apparently. And Gary's going to show us this, hopefully, if it works. Might not be.
Duracell batteries can make fun times last a lot longer. If you put Duracell batteries into one toy and ordinary carbon batteries into all the others, you'd find that after just a few hours of continuous use, the ordinary batteries give up. But Duracell batteries keep going. In fact, depending on the toy, Duracell can last 2, 3, up to 6 times longer. Duracell. The copper top battery. No ordinary battery looks like it. No ordinary battery lasts like it.
Okay, that was the the line, wasn't it? No ordinary battery, no other battery, you know, looks like it, no ordinary battery, lasts like it. And it's a bit like that with Jesus and the life that he gives us, you know. He gives us life that's different to life without him. It's different, you know, in length because it's eternal. It's different in quantity and quality, you know, because it's fullness of life. And it's also different because it's powerful. It's a different kind of life because we get power to live a new life. Romans 6 says, now you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result is eternal life. God actually gives us the power to live a new life. There's got to be that change in how we live when we become Christians because his life is actually living in us. Ephesians 4 says that we've got to put off the old self that's been corrupted by its deceitful desires and be made new in the attitude of our minds. You know, because Jesus is the word of life, speaking these words of life to us, giving us his power to live in a completely different fashion to how we used to live when we didn't know him, we've got a new kind of life now, as well as a life that goes on forever. Our life is now hidden with Christ in God. And that's got to have an impact on how we live. Because we know that when Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. We'll be like him when he appears. We'll see him as he is. John says, all who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. So our lives look different because his life is living in us. The old has got to make way for the new. We've got to clear out our houses to make room for new things to come in each Christmas. Yeah? And Paul says, God didn't call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. God's life makes a huge difference to how we live our lives. And life is described also as light in many parts of the Bible. We read from John 1 that John said that Jesus said that life was the light of all mankind. In Genesis, you get the account of creation. Light, one of the first things mentioned as being created by God. And in that account, obviously, we've got light and darkness being day and night. So often, the Bible talks about light and darkness figuratively, thinking about everything that's good and of God and everything that's evil and of the enemy. We talked about the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light last time. Jesus said, I am the light of the world, and said that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. He said that John the Baptist was only a witness to the real light brought by Jesus. In John 8, Jesus said, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And later on in 1 John, he carries on that theme of light and darkness, and he says, God is light. In him there's no darkness at all. And much of that letter really talks about how we differentiate between light and darkness. Again, telling us we've got to live in the light of God's life and love, and then that has an impact on our behaviour and our relationships. It says if we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. In chapter 2 he says, anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. But anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there's nothing in them to make them stumble. You know, if we're claiming to follow God, then his light has to shine into every area of our lives and have an impact on how we live. You know, we've not got to have any closed doors in our relationship with God. I'm sure we've all got cupboards and drawers in our house that are stuffed full of things, and we just, you know, when we want to tidy up, we just shove things in a cupboard and shut the door and hope that nobody, you know, comes in and sees them. But God doesn't want us to have cupboards and drawers like that in our lives. He wants to have access to every area of our lives. He wants us to open every door so that he can come in. It says, doesn't it, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with that person and they with me. Light exposes everything that's hidden and dirty and messy. You know, Jesus said everyone who does evil hates the light, and they won't come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. You know, we can have different reactions to light. When light dazzled us, we squint, yeah, because we can't see clearly. Sometimes we shudder, sometimes we hide, because we know that light reveals everything. When it's a sunny day and the sun's shining through your windows, you can tell when you've not cleaned your windows. Yeah, and you think, oh no, that sunshine is revealing to me that I've got another job to do that I've not yet got around to doing. Yeah, but if we're willing to come into the light, we can receive God's forgiveness and his life and his power to start afresh. Peter says that God's called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. We don't have to be afraid of God's light, even though it does expose our darkness, our sinfulness. God's light is intended to bring us into light. It says in Psalm 36 verse 9, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light." And God is radiant with light. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. And because God is light, he sheds light on our paths and our ways. His words that are spoken to us provide us with enough light for the next step on our journey. The unfolding of your word gives light. And quite often we feel we're in darkness. You know, we don't know what we should do next. We don't know what God's got planned for us. But as we pray and as we seek God's heart and will for our lives, he speaks to us and he sheds light on our path. You know, perhaps because of our use of artificial light nowadays, we've forgotten about the difference between natural light and darkness. But Paul says that we've got to live as children of the light and children of the day, because we no longer belong to the night. Jesus said that we can only walk when we've got daylight. We can have illumination in our lives. And, you know, we need God's light to shine into our darkness, into the problem areas of our life, so that we can see where to go. And life and light are God's gift to us. And these things sort of multiply, don't they? God has eternal life and he gives it to us, so eternal life is multiplied. And Jesus is the light of the world, but he said that we are the light of the world too. Light multiplies. And God is love. And that applies to love too. His love is freely given to us so that we can love the way that he loves. Love multiplies. It's not meant to be kept to ourselves, but to be shared freely. And Paul makes it clear in that famous chapter in 1 Corinthians 13 that we keep coming back to, that love's got to be the yardstick by which everything else is judged. He tells us that we can have all kinds of spiritual gifts, but if we don't have love, we just sound like a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. He says that if we've got the gift of prophecy and we can fathom all kinds of mysteries and even have such faith that we can see mountains move, but if we don't have love, we're nothing. He tells us that if we give to the poor and even if we offer our bodies, our lives to God in martyrdom, without love it gains us nothing. Love has to be in everything that we think, that we say, that we do, everything we are, because love is all God is and all God does. And John has a lot to say about love too. He's often known as the disciple that Jesus loved. And it's in his gospel especially that we read Jesus' definition of how people will know that we are his disciples. In John 13 it says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So John's clearly working, you know, from the same source as Paul. He says that we've got to make our love known by loving other people. Jesus said in John 15, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in his love." And John goes on in his letter to say, we love because he first loved us. We receive the love from God and then we give it out to other people. Love is a verb, it's a doing word. It's not just a warm, fuzzy feeling. John says that this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. God's love is love in action. It's active. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. He did something because he loved the world. He gave his only Son so that we could be forgiven, so that we can have eternal life. And John says, well, you've got to do the same thing. You've got to be helping people. You've got to be loving people, giving to the poor and needy. Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. And God's love meets our deepest needs. It satisfies us. It's the thing that we need to make us whole. It equips us to love as he loves. Love is the human face of God. We've seen that in Jesus, but now the world sees it through us. If we want people to know that God is real and that he cares, we've got to be people who love like he does. Love has to be sacrificial. It's got to go the extra mile. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends, because that's what Jesus did for us. And that's the measuring stick that he uses. We've got to be prepared to be inconvenienced, to be put out, to be unselfish in our love. And that's challenging for all of us, because we all like to be on the receiving end of love, to be loved. But to be committed daily to loving other people with that kind of kindness and selflessness is difficult. But that's the challenge that Jesus gives us daily. And we can only meet that challenge if we're rooted and established in God's love, so that his love motivates us, so that we can grasp how high and how wide and how long and how deep is God's love, and to know that love for ourselves so that we can share it freely with others. So, life, light and love, the three L's, they're all of them essential to life. All of them find their origin and their sustenance in God. All of them are shared freely by God so that we can, with open hands, receive his gifts. And all of them need to be seen in our lives so that others can know they're available too. Life is about more than existence, more than just the time we spend on earth and then fade away into oblivion. Life's more than biology or breathing. It's about the vibrancy and the creativity that God brings through his very presence. Light is about more than the absence of darkness. It's more than what physicists can describe. Light is the brilliance of God, the dazzling sight of his presence, and it exposes our failings, it shows us our shortcomings, but it also welcomes us into his presence nonetheless. It cleanses us, it guides us in our daily living. And love is about more than feelings. It's the heart behind everything God is and he does, and it needs to be the heart between everything that we are and everything we do. And those three things can't be divided. They form this endless cycle or circle. We receive life, we receive light, we receive love, and then we pass them on. As others receive them, they are enabled to pass them on. And so we see that these three things are absolutely essential to us as we journey on in faith. And they're all freely available from the God who gives generously to all without finding fault. Amen.